Usually at this time, I will ask you to open up your Bibles to our scripture reading here this morning, but we're going to do something a little bit different. We will have scripture reading, but it's going to be throughout the message. So for right now, I am just going to start. I will have a word of prayer, and then I'll just start right into the message with no scripture reading up front. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, I just pray for this message that I'm about to speak. I pray, Lord, that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart are going to be pleasing to you. I pray, Lord, that the truths will be revealed. But most of all, Lord, I ask that your scripture, your text, your word here in this book be that transforms each and every one of us from the inside out. Do with us, Lord, and change us the way that we all need to be changed here today. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today's going to be our final week, I think, in this sermon series that I have titled The American Christian. This is week number 12. And we've covered quite a bit over the last 11 weeks. I was going to summarize at the end of this. The week that I come back, I might just put everything together and kind of summarize everything at that time. But let's cover what we need to cover here today. Let's not forget that the United States of America is not God's chosen nation. We are not a covenant nation with God. Nowhere and at no time did God ever choose the United States of America as his own or make any kind of covenant with the United States of America. There's only been one nation that has filled that bill, and that nation would be the nation of Israel. Amen. The United States is just another nation, just like any other nation on the face of our planet. God did, however, adopt men and women as sons and daughters to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and those who are chosen are called the church, the body of believers. And the people who make up the church, this body of believers, we live in all nations all around the world, including here in the United States of America. And this body of believers, these chosen people, would be people just like you and I here at Beech Grove Church. There was a time in American history when this nation, the United States of America, was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and we followed those principles for many, many years. And because of that, I believe God had his protective hand and his providential hand around our nation. But something happened, I say around somewhere right after World War II, around 1950, around 1960, which started a serious moral decline in this great country of ours. What was the reason for it? Well, I've given many reasons over the last couple weeks, and we could blame it on a lot of different things. But that trend continues today. So the question is, does God still have his protective and providential hand around the United States of America? And we've tried to answer that over the last couple weeks. But let's go in a different direction here this morning. In 1918, a man wrote a song about our country. The song did not become popular until 20 years later. In 1938, the songwriter made some changes to this song that he wrote. And he gave the song to a radio star whose name was Kate Smith. And Kate Smith performed the song for the first time on the radio, on her radio show. She sang the song on the eve of the first official celebration of Armistice Day, a holiday originally conceived to commemorate world peace and honor the veterans of World War I. It was considered a peace song. Since the song was written by a Jewish man, it was immediately boycotted by the Ku Klux Klan. Regardless, this song is still extremely popular today. Most Americans, including I'm sure all of us in here, are very familiar with the song. It is often sung before professional sporting events, and it was sung by politicians as they marched out of the Capitol building shortly after 9/11. The songwriter also wrote the song White Christmas. The name of the songwriter is Irving Berlin, and the song that he wrote that was sung by Kate Smith is God Bless America. It's a simple song. Here's the words. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. A very short song, and most of us know the words. And I need to ask, what words to that song stand out to you when you hear those words? Is there any words that stand out? And it's probably the same words to you as it is to me. The actual title of the song, God Bless America. But I need to ask this question. Are those words a plea from us Americans? In other words, oh God, would you please bless our country? Or are those words a demand from us Americans? God bless America. Does it even make a difference one way or the other? But there's a part of me that just can't help to think that those words do represent America in a very American sort of way. God, give me something. After all, isn't that the American way? Isn't that our human condition? Give me something that I don't have. Guide us, Lord. Protect us, Lord. And certainly prosper us, Lord. And the sad news is that the church has caught on to this request. And today we call it the health, wealth, prosperity movement. Come to Jesus and he will make you healthy and he will make you wealthy and he will prosper you. In other words, God bless me. You know, after everything that I've preached over these last 11 weeks on this topic, about the failure of conscience, about the failure of parents, about the failure of government, and about the failure of church, we need to ask the question, can God still bless America? Will God bless America? I say, yes, he can. But God's blessing for a nation always comes with terms and conditions. So let's take a look at the Word of God and see the terms of conditions that he established first with his nation Israel. Open up your Bibles to the Old Testament book Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And no, I'm actually not going to read anything from there. I just want you to have that in front of you as we look at some things. Now, what's happening at this point in time? Well, the Israelites have just got done wandering in the desert for about 40 years, and they're ready to move into the promised land. And God is setting up some terms and conditions with the Israelites. Now, if you look at chapter 28, there's 68 verses in that chapter. 14 of those verses, the first 14 verses in that chapter, are the blessings that God is going to give to the nation Israel if they meet the terms and conditions that he sets before them. And isn't it something that the next 54 verses explain the curses that's going to happen when they don't meet the terms and conditions of what God sets before them? Now, you don't have to read those now, and I'm not going to read any of them to you right now. But if you have some time this week, or even today, I strongly suggest you read, especially the first 14 verses of that chapter. Granted, Israel was and still is God's chosen nation and people, but the terms and conditions for blessings and curses from God remain the same no matter what nation you are, including the United States. The blessings and cursings will probably not be exactly the same as what he specifies here and what he lists here, but the terms and conditions for blessing and curses are the same. So what are those terms and conditions, especially and specifically for us today, the United States of America, as this nation? Well, there's one condition that's rather obvious that you can read there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and that will be our fourth fill in the blank, but we'll get to that when we get to our fourth fill in the blank. But for now, we're going to turn again to another place in our Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah. Now, you might say, oh, Mike, I'm not that familiar with my Bible. Where is Nehemiah? Well, if you find Psalms, go to the left, and we're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 8. And here I am going to read some verses to you. Now, the book of Nehemiah, as you're turning there to Nehemiah and finding your place, I'm going to start reading at verse number 1 of chapter 8. You got to remember what's happening at the time of Nehemiah. Now, what's happening is this. The Jews had just been exiled years and years before. The northern kingdom had been exiled to Assyria. The southern kingdom had been exiled in around 575 BC to Babylon. But what's happening right now is all those exiles, all those Jewish exiles, a lot of them are now returning back to Jerusalem. They're going back. The Babylonian kings have granted that they could go on back. They could rebuild the temple. They could rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And now Nehemiah, they have just finished and accomplished those things. And now Nehemiah is having a little get-together with all the people that have returned. So I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. I'm going to read through verse number 9. And here's kind of what's happening at that time. It says, all the people assembled as one man in this square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought out the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon, as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the scribe, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him, on his right, stood all these people with these Jewish names. So let's move down to verse number 5. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them, and as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, these same people that I mentioned before, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is sacred to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. The terms and conditions of God blessing any nation, specifically the United States, starts off with something that we just kind of read right there. And our first fill in the blank would be this. The United States of America needs to have a standard for morality. And the standard for morality in America must be the Word of God. It must be the word of God. There is no more standard for morality in the United States anymore. We are basing everything on this postmodern foundation that we have, that whatever she thinks is right, whatever Romy thinks is right, whatever I think is right, and whatever Tom thinks is right is going to be right. We make up our own standards of morality. And that is not where this country needs to be. We need to have a standard. And I believe we had a standard at one time. It was called Judeo-Christian principles. And we stood on them. But something happened and those principles have kind of gone away. But if God is going to bless America, step number one is this. We need the morality of this country of ours to be based on a strong, solid foundation. And that foundation must be the Word of God. So, now that we know that that's step number one in God's terms and conditions, where does that take us from there? Well, it takes us to 2 Samuel chapter 24. And let me just give you a little bit of background there. We're feeding here now from a lot of Old Testament scripture. In 2 Samuel 24, King David was told by God not to take a census of the fighting men. But King David took a census of the fighting men. It appears that King David had some selfish motives which disappointed the Lord. So David takes the census anyways. And then we see this in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10. The God's word says this. David was conscience stricken after he had counted the fighting men. And he said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing. What is step number two? If God is going to bless America, our fill in the blank. The word of God must lead people into guilt. Into guilt. What is guilt? Webster defines guilt as this. A bad feeling caused by knowing or thinking that you have done something bad or wrong. America has no sense of guilt anymore, my friends. None whatsoever. They do bad things and they have no guilt about it at all. No sense of, oh my goodness, I've done the wrong thing. Why? Because there's no standards anymore. So I ask us, do we feel a sense of guilt when we have done something wrong against the law of the Lord? And as a Christian, you better answer that question. Yes, I do. A sense of guilt. So what standards are you building yourself up on? Your own standards or the standards of the Word of God? So what we have so far is step number one. If God is going to bless America, we need to have a good foundation, the Word of God. Number two, we have to have guilt about the times that we fail in living up to the Word of God. There are some people who would disagree with step number two. One of them is Ann Landers. Let me tell you what Ann Landers said. Everyone remembers Ann Landers, right? You wrote into Ann Landers and she gives advice. And Ann Landers says this, and I quote, "Guilt is a pollutant and we don't need any more of it in the world," end quote. Well, that was from the great theologian Ann Landers. But then let's go to an even greater theologian, MTV. We all know what that is, right? MTV. And they say this, and I quote, "No sin is as evil as the killjoy attitude of those who think someone's behavior is an offense to some holy God," end quote. My friends, that is where America is at. Absolutely no sense of guilt whatsoever. So, we need to have a little bit of guilt in our life. Now, if you're still there at Nehemiah, let me go to Nehemiah chapter 9, and I'm going to read the first three verses there, and this will lead us to our third fill in the blank. And the third step in this, if we want God to bless America, the third term and condition. Chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, I will read verses 1 through 3. "On the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust on their heads. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read from the book of the law, their God, book of the Lord their God, for a quarter of the day, and spent another quarter in confession and in worshiping the Lord their God. Could you imagine a quarter of the day, 6 hours reading from God's word, and then the next 6 hours doing nothing but confessing your sins? Well, guess what the third fill in the blank is? If we want God to bless America, guilt must be followed by confession or repentance, whatever word you want to use. The Israelites understood here in Nehemiah, they understood that, you know what, I think our forefathers must have done something really, really wrong and really bad. So they were confessing their own sins. They were confessing the sins of their forefathers. I assure you, my friends, that you can have all the guilty feelings in the world, but if you suppress them without confession, all those guilty feelings do absolutely nothing. Key word that I said there, if you suppress those feelings and you do nothing about them. That word suppress, where did we hear that word suppress? Well, we heard that word back in Romans chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. Because Romans chapter 1 verses 18 and 19 say this, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who do what? They suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. We talked about this earlier. How has God made the truth of his word plain to the people? He has given us a conscience, to know the word of God and to understand no right from wrong. So, we want God to bless America. We have to be built on a foundation of the word of God. That word of God has to bring guilt into our life. That guilt has to lead us to confession. And the fourth and final step takes us back to Deuteronomy 28. You don't have to turn there. But if we want God to bless America, we know one thing. It's going to be the same terms and conditions that he gave the Israelites back thousands of years ago. So our fill in the blank would be this. Very, very simple. Two simple words. Do we want God to bless America? Obey his word. Do we want God to curse America? Disobey his word. Very, very simple. And that's the simplicity of what God gave them back, the Israelites, back in Deuteronomy 28. Hey, listen, do you want me to bless you? And I want God to bless America for sure. Obey his word. But there are terms and conditions, and we need to stand on those terms and conditions. The blessings that God promised Israel were victory and prosperity and purity and respect and abundance and dominance. Don't those words sound like what America used to be at one time? Let me repeat those words again. Doesn't it sound like America? Victory, prosperity, purity, respect, abundance, and dominance. But the curses for disobeying the word of God, they're just the opposite. America will not have victory. America will not have prosperity. America will not have purity. It will not have respect. It will not have abundance, and it will not have dominance. So I ask, is that the direction that we, this country, is headed? God bless America. I want God to bless America. I really do. But a perfect and holy God has terms and conditions that a nation must meet for that to happen. We cannot act any way we want, and we cannot sin as a nation any way we want and expect a holy and perfect God to bless the United States of America. Amen. He didn't bless America. Excuse me, he didn't bless Israel when they didn't meet the terms and conditions. And what happened to the nation Israel? They went into exile. The northern kingdom went to Assyria. The southern kingdom, years later, went to Babylon. So, is the same thing going to happen to America? I don't know. I am not a prophet. But I am a preacher. So I will say this. according to the word of God, unless this nation, the United States of America, and specifically those who claim to represent Jesus Christ, unless we turn back to God and to His word, until we start feeling the guilt of our sin, until we start confessing our sin to the Almighty God, and until we start obeying His word, America is never going to feel the blessings of God again. True Christians must be diligent in preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with this unbelieving nation of ours. True Christians must be diligent in praying for the conversion of souls in this wonderful nation of ours. And most of all, and this is the one that gets me the most, and preachers must stand before their congregations and boldly proclaim the authoritative word of God without apology, and not giving the congregation what their itching ears want to hear. But instead, they need to give their congregations what the congregations must hear. And when the United States of America, when we can do this, when we can meet the terms and conditions that God has set up, then I believe hardened hearts are going to be melted and they're going to be turned from stone. And then America will once again feel the abundant blessings that God promises to provide. But only if we can meet His terms and conditions. Let's pray.